Good evening, this is Patrick Donahue. We appreciate you listening every Sunday night to Bible Crossfire. We were talking last week, in between all the callers, about the difference in fornication and adultery in the Bible. And we went into that in detail. One of the definitions we read for fornication is from a Greek lexicon written by Thayer. His definition for the Greek word translated fornication is illicit sexual intercourse, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, intercourse with animals, etc. And so, fornication is the all-encompassing word. It's a superset. It includes sex before marriage. It includes adultery. It includes homosexuality. It includes bestiality. Whereas adultery is a subset of fornication. Here's the definition for adultery from Mr. Vine's Bible Dictionary. Denotes one who has unlawful intercourse with the spouse of another. So that's when a person is married and they cheat on their spouse, have sexual relations outside the marriage relationship. Or it could be that if you have relations with somebody else who's already married. We see this from this definition holds true from a couple of passages. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but the sexually immoral and adulterers God will judge. And then Romans 7, 2 and 3, for the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. So we see from that passage that Mr. Vine's definition is right. Adultery is one who has unlawful intercourse with the spouse of another. Here's a woman that was committing adultery because her husband was still alive, and yet she was having relations. She was married to another man. It's adultery. She's, in effect, cheating on her spouse. Again, the number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. The lines are completely open right now. You can get in. 877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or comment. The reason we were discussing this distinction between fornication and adultery is because of Matthew 19:9. In Matthew 19:9, Jesus says, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery." And so, the only reason that Jesus gives, the only scriptural cause for divorce, is for fornication. But what does fornication mean? Well, as we've seen it defined by the Bible and by the Bible dictionaries, it simply means illicit sexual intercourse. It would include sex before marriage, adultery after the marriage, homosexuality, bestiality. Any sex outside of the lawful marriage relationship falls into the category of fornication. And so Jesus is giving permission for one spouse to divorce another spouse for fornication. That would be sex before marriage, adultery after marriage, homosexuality, bestiality, or having sex with an animal, any sex outside of the lawful marriage relationship. That is Jesus' permission. You may divorce your spouse for fornication. But what we want to emphasize tonight is that is the only cause for scriptural divorce. Many people today, even many who claim to be Christians, divorce their spouses for reasons other than fornication. Their spouse has not cheated on them. Their spouse has not had an illicit sexual relationship outside of the marriage relationship, yet they divorce them for incompatibility. They can't get along. That's the most common type of divorce, is for incompatibility. And many Christians get a divorce for reasons like that. They don't have a scriptural right for divorce, and therefore they are committing sin. You know, Matthew 5:32 teaches the same thing as Matthew 19:9. It says, Jesus says here, "But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, And whoso marrieth her that is divorced committeth adultery. So again, Jesus gives the one and only cause. Matthew 19:9 says, except for fornication. This one says, saving for the cause of fornication. There is one and only scriptural cause. One spouse may divorce another spouse for sexual unfaithfulness. Nothing else qualifies as a scriptural divorce. Nothing else. If you have a Bible question or comment on this or any other Bible topic, give us a call at 877-655-6755. The lines are wide open. 677-655-6755. Now, we've read Matthew 19:9 and Matthew 5:32, which give the only scriptural cause for divorce as being for fornication. Any divorce for any other reason is sinful, is an unscriptural divorce. Luke 16:18 states this same general rule without giving the exception. Let me read that. Jesus said there, whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. Same rule, divorce and remarriage is adultery. Luke doesn't give us the exception. There is one exception given in the Bible, and we take everything the Bible says, we know that exception is true. But Luke is emphasizing that general rule that if you divorce and remarry, you commit adultery. You know, 1 Corinthians 7 verse 10 also states this same general rule without giving the exception. It says, and unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. So you see, it's wrong once two people are married for the wife or the husband to depart from their spouse. They're not to leave. They're to stay till death do us part. Damien from Wisconsin, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
I want to make a comment on the fornication versus adultery. What I wanted to ask about in Deuteronomy, I believe it is either 22 or chapter 24. I know they're talking about the law where someone's married, someone's betrothed, but there's also one that talks about when someone that's single has sex with someone that's single, they are both, if they're found, they both have to, they're forced to be married. So I think that's given a definition of the fornication. I see that in Matthew 19:9 and Matthew 5:32, but I just can't see how the adultery is being used for that. Because, like I said before, I've always been raised, you know, fornication is sex before marriage. You said before that sex before marriage was the fornication and also the other things, but how do you distinguish? Because when the Bible says, you know, adultery, fornication, it lists them both side by side. So I think they're making a distinction between both of those.
Damon, the passage you're thinking about is in Deuteronomy 22, the last three verses, 28 through 30, and it talks about a man and a woman committing fornication, yes, before they're married, and they have to get married, that's true. Fornication is the broad term. Like if I were to say animal, and then I say the word dog, do you see how animal describes all the animals, and then dog is a certain type of animal? Do you see that, Damon?
Yes, I understand that, but...
All right, now let me make the parallel. So fornication, according to the Bible dictionaries, is the broad word. Thayer defines it as illicit sexual intercourse, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, intercourse with animals. Adultery is one denotes one who has unlawful intercourse with the spouse of another. So that's a subset of fornication. Fornication is any unlawful sexual relationship. Adultery is having unlawful intercourse with the spouse of another. And so we can see that, for example, in Jude verse 7, the Bible talks about what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah and calls it fornication. And we know that was homosexuality. You see my point, Damien?
Yeah, I see your point on that.
So fornication is any unlawful sexual relations. And so what Jesus is giving permission is for one spouse to divorce another for any of these things. If, for example, if a person's spouse were to commit a homosexual act or adulterous act or even have sex with an animal, then that would qualify, and that the innocent spouse then could divorce that guilty spouse for that fornication. Do you have any follow-up, Damon?
Yeah, well, when Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, I have to wonder, then, who is he agreeing with? Because I've always heard, you know, they say Hillel, Shammai, but if he didn't agree with any of them, and if someone would be stoned for adultery, that would rule the adultery out. And no one ever really states who Jesus agreed with. People would say, oh, well, he didn't agree with any. Well, one of them was saying for adultery, and one of them was saying for any old reason at all. So that would rule out the adultery.
It's irrelevant, but those two camps, what Jesus is doing is telling what his New Testament law would be. The Old Testament law taught that an adulterer should be stoned, but Jesus is not giving Old Testament law. Jesus is telling what the New Testament law would be, and that is, if your spouse cheats on you, not that you can stone them or have them stoned, that's the Old Testament law, Leviticus 20, verse 10. New Testament law is that you may divorce them for that fornication. So he's not commenting upon anything about the Old Testament law, he's giving New Testament law. Amy from Ohio, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I am actually in the middle of divorcing my husband of 25 years. He got involved heavily with pornography and for years. And I don't know how quite to say this, but I found evidence that there was possibly minors involved with that. And so I asked him to leave. He left, and we've been separated for 4 years. And I am, I've talked to other pastors, and they have agreed that, yes, I had biblical stand to divorce him. They said if he, doesn't get treatment or he doesn't, then, nothing's going to change. And 4 years has gone by, and he has not received any treatment. And so I am ready to divorce him.
Amy, pornography is very, very sinful, but it is not necessarily the same as fornication. Did he actually cheat against you sexually?
I think there, he has denied it, but I'm pretty sure that he was involved with I wouldn't say it was prostitution. I'm not quite sure. It might have been prostitution. I am almost 100% sure that it was, that committed a sexual act.
Then if he did that, Amy, then you have the right to divorce him for that sexual immorality, for that fornication. Jesus said, whoever puts away his wife except it be for fornication and shall marry another committeth adultery. So you would have the right to divorce him for fornication if he did commit fornication. If he didn't commit fornication, then you wouldn't have a right. That's pretty simple, easy to understand from this verse, isn't it, Amy?
It is. My other question was that Jesus said, if a man puts away his wife to commit fornication or commit adultery, when he said put away, would that mean that he withheld sex from her?
No, put away here is simply the King James way of saying divorce. If you look at the newer translations, New King James, New American Standard, and so forth, they will have the word divorce there. Whoever divorces his wife, except it be for fornication. So when you see put away in the King James, think divorce. It's just a synonym for that.
Okay. All right.
You have the right to divorce your husband if he committed fornication, sexual relations outside the marriage. And if he didn't, you don't. But if he did, you do. That's simply what Matthew 19:9 teaches, Amy. Thanks for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. So if anybody else has a Bible question or comment on this particular Bible topic or any other Bible topic, give us a call at 877-655-6755. One thing that we also learned from Matthew 5:32 and 1 Corinthians 7, verse 10, And we could also learn this from Matthew 19, verse 6, whatever God has joined together, let not man put asunder. When a man divorces his spouse, his wife, for any reason other than fornication, and remarries, he commits adultery. But the divorce itself is wrong. God expects us to stay together, husband and wife. I'm married to Carol. He expects me to stay with Carol till death do us part. So I can't say, well, I can divorce Carol for incompatibility or for burning the biscuits. Let me tease and say that. As long as I don't remarry, some Christians think that's the truth. As long as I don't remarry, I can divorce for any reason. No. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 10 says, the wife should not depart from her husband. And so that's what we have to go by. We're not to depart from our spouses. God expects us to stay together, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health. He expects us to stay with that wife that we made a commitment to till death do us part. Now, having said that, if a person divorces their spouse for any reason other than fornication and remarries, texts like Matthew 19:9 say they are committing adultery. Suppose they've done that and they want to repent of that. What would you have to do to repent of adultery? Well, if they divorce their spouse and remarry, they're committing adultery. That means every time they sleep with that second, that new wife, they are committing adultery. So if they want to repent of committing that adultery, then they're going to have to quit sleeping with that wife. They're going to have to terminate the marriage. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. If you've divorced your spouse for any reason other than fornication and you've remarried, if you want to be right with God, if you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to get out of that second marriage and seek reconciliation with your original spouse. You must terminate that adulterous marriage. We can see this illustrated from Mark 6, 17 and 18, though it's not part of the New Testament law. That reads, for Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. So, secular history tells us that Herodias had divorced Philip unscripturally. Herod had married Herodias. It's an unscriptural marriage. And John the Baptist ended up getting his head cut off because he told Herod, it's not lawful for you to have her. What he was implying by that, and he was speaking for God, is that he needed to terminate that marriage. It's not lawful for you to have her. Not that it wasn't just lawful for you to get her, but it's not lawful for you to have her. You're going to have to get out of that marriage if you want to be right with God. You cannot stay in an adulterous marriage any more than you can stay in a homosexual marriage and be right with God. Dan from Georgia, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes. My wife has filed for divorce. She accused me of adultery. Her and I drive truck. My wife got sick 3 years ago, and she hasn't been able to drive no more. But I have five or six names in my phone of women that was friends of ours when we were driving. Well, since I still had them in my phone, now I have committed adultery, and I'm having an affair with all of them. And that is very untrue.
Well, and if that's untrue... If that's untrue, then your wife has no right to divorce you. She has no right. It will not be a scriptural divorce. If she divorces you, it will be a sin. So if what you're telling me is the truth, then you just continue to be faithful to your wife. That's what you need to do. I think you know that, don't you, Dan?
And that's what I've been. You know, I know my wife is sick. I know my wife has a mental illness, but it's gotten worse in the last year, and that's when all this stuff started. And she'd been raking me over the coals. She'd been going through my wallet, going through my phone, going through my van when I come home.
Dan, we're gonna have to. We have some other calls waiting. We appreciate the call so much, and we please listen again next week. Shannon from Washington, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Oh, I thought I was already talking to you. I guess it was someone else. Okay. What I was going to say is you're talking to a lady whose husband had been involved with pornography, and she wanted to know if she had biblical rights for a divorce, and did that constitute adultery? And I would think yes, Because Jesus said, if you look at a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery with her in her, in your heart. And so I would think, since this man had been using pornography all this time and not repenting of it, I would think that would be the same thing as adultery then, according to what Jesus said, and that she would have grounds for a biblical divorce.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate your point, Shannon, but I can't quite agree with you, because in Matthew 19:9, the cause that Jesus specifies as being the only scriptural cause is actual fornication. In Matthew 5:28, that is fornication in the heart, not quite the same as actual fornication. So two different things. One does not give a scriptural cause for divorce. Tony from Pennsylvania, go ahead with your question, Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to ask you about, you know, like they have women pastors in some of the churches, and they're very nice, very good pastors. They seem to have the calling, but I realize that St. Paul's against it in Timothy and in Titus, you know. But he also says that women should stay silent in the church. But I don't see any reason why they can't be like you know, like Sunday school teachers or something like that. What do you think?
You're right, Tony. The verse you're thinking of about silence is 1 Corinthians 14:34-35 says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church." Now, the context of that statement, Tony, is verse 23. It says, "If therefore the whole church be come together into one place." So you're right. In the Sunday school class scenario, where there's many different classes going on at once, a woman could teach other women or children. But when the congregation leaves the Sunday school class situation, the different Bible classes, and they all come together into one place, as verse 23 talks about, then verse 34 and 35 forbid her from speaking in the church. You're absolutely right, Tony.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Appreciate your call. You know, the great majority of churches in the United States and Canada, where this program goes out, this SiriusXM program goes out, allow women to speak from the pulpit. And that's so contrary to what we just read in 1 Corinthians 14:34-35. You know, another passage, and I think Tony was trying to refer to this passage, that would teach that it's wrong for women to be preachers, as we normally call it, is 1 Timothy 2:11-12. The Bible says there in 1 Timothy 2:11-12, well, just let me turn over there, I'm going slow, "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." So that passage also condemns this practice of women preaching from the pulpit. That was a good call. We appreciate that. Now, in conclusion, on the lesson we're talking about with fornication and adultery and what constitutes scriptural divorce, let me raise this point. What happens to people, saint or sinner, who refuse to quit committing adultery? In this case, those who stay in unscriptural marriages. They divorce for a reason other than fornication. They remarry, and they stay in that second adulterous marriage. Well, Revelation 21 verse 8 tells us, "The cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And so, people who are in these second or third marriages, unscriptural, adulterous marriages, they have to get out of them to be right with God. If they don't, they're going to end up being lost, according to Revelation 21, verse 8. Appreciate you listening tonight. If you want to talk about the Bible throughout the week, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com.